your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. Views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Metaphysical, paranormal, you know, all those things you've been wondering about. Are you ready to go deeper into the realms of the unknown? I hope you've got your walking shoes on, because life is an adventure, and this is the journey. Come on, let's go. Welcome to the Journey Radio Show. I'm Jen Cruz, your host tonight, and with me, I've got Jenna Grover. Hi, Jenna.
Hey, how are you?
Fantastic.
Good. Hey, everybody.
So, I asked Jenna to come on the show tonight because she is my fellow She Squatcher on our She Squatchers team. And we just had the weekend of Paracon in Minomin, Minnesota at the Shooting Star Casino Hotel and Event Center. And then we went on a Bigfoot expedition the following day and night and into the wee hours.
we were going
to share a little bit about that. And so we have lots to cover. And later on in the show, also, we're gonna play a recording from the – we did an interview with Lauren Coleman, cryptozoologist, who has the Bigfoot Museum in Maine. He was at Paracon in Minnesota this weekend, and so we had a lovely interview with him. I had lots of questions for him, and he was so kind to answer those for us. So we're going to be playing that as well and having more commentary after that. So it's going to be a jam-packed show. And I see Kat is in the chat room saying, "What? Shoes? No one told me I needed shoes on." Well, you can get by without shoes tonight, Kat. It'll be okay. Just be careful. We're going to be moving pretty quickly. Don't stub your toe or get tripped up on a stick like somebody else I know, myself.
Oh, boy.
So, Jenna, how was Paracon?
Well, honestly, I had such a good time. Every minute I was looking at new things, I got to go around to all the booths, which normally we don't get to do, Jen. So that was really awesome. We got to meet a lot of great people. And I actually had to go out online and apologize that I didn't have any pictures to share because we were so busy. And I told everyone, too, you know, just because I don't have pictures doesn't mean I don't have great memories. The memories I have from that trip are fabulous. So I had a really good time.
I have pictures.
Yay!
I have pictures.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, and video and all that. No.
Oh, no. No proof.
Oh, no. I have a Facebook Live video that someone took of you. No.
I wouldn't
put that out there, you poor thing.
I know, that little brat.
Someone who shall remain nameless, his name is Tony, but otherwise remains nameless, had been having dinner at our table, and Jenna's can be very goofy sometimes, and he's like, "Can you say that again?" And so she puts some whipped cream in her mouth and says, "Oh, like this?" And she was just being goofy. She had no clue she was on Facebook Live.
No, he was like Bat Dad. He kept coming around with the darn camera, and I'd be down there doing stuff on my computer and looking all crazy. And he'd say, "Hey, Jenna." And I'd go, "What?" "Stop it!" He'd get me on that Facebook Live so many times. I just, but he was fun. He was funny.
Yes.
So I was okay.
Yes. Yes. It was interesting anyway. So it was a good time. A good time was had. So who was the favorite? Did you have a favorite person that you met this weekend at the Paracon? Your favorite celebrity?
To be honest with you, I was really impressed with Lauren Coleman. I really was. You know, I've met him a few times, but to actually sit down and have an interview with him, he really is a good interview. I was really impressed. He comes across so intelligent. And, yeah, I'd have to say definitely He's one of the top.
He was definitely amazing this weekend. And, you know, we did just see him in Kentucky last month or the month before for CryptidCon. But I apologized to him because I was like, I know I just saw you at CryptidCon in Kentucky, but I didn't actually get over to talk to him very much at all. So I was like, I have more time this time. So we made sure to have a nice interview with him this time. And honestly, I've interviewed him before on my old show. And a couple of times, actually. And to be honest, he has never been nicer. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, who are you? What happened?
It must be because, Jen, it has to be because we're both together and we are just a great team. I think it is.
That could be. Very much so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So our reputation precedes us, that's for sure. Exactly. And maybe he remembers at Kentucky the buzz around the booth about the video, and I know he wanted to see it because before we did the interview with him, we sat down with our tablets and showed him, you know, different angles of the stick structure that we found mm-hmm. up in northern Minnesota, and we wanted to get his opinion on that. And you know, in the end, he finally said he doesn't have a whole lot of opinion that he gives officially. mm-hmm. ever, which I can totally understand. His reputation is on the line always. So that makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. So if it could be debunked for any which way or form, he's gonna point out that, even if he thinks it looks for real. Mm-hmm. But he really, really, really enjoyed that stick structure.
Yeah, he did.
He kept asking, how did you find this? How did you do that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can't, you just had a feeling? Or, and Jen kept saying, no, this is how I did it. And
so, yeah, and I wasn't quite sure that he understood what remote viewing was. it was interesting because I'm like, do you know what that is? And he goes, and when did you do this? I'm like, for like a week or two beforehand. Now, none of this is on the interview because we sat down and talked with him about all of that before we even started the interview. So I really wish we would have recorded the whole thing because it was actually a wonderful conversation and really learn a lot from the guy. He's amazing. Mm-hmm. And hopefully he's coming squatching with us someday.
That's exciting.
I know. It sounds fun.
He actually looked excited too.
I know he did. Well, why do you think he looked excited? At what point?
Because when we asked him if he'd ever come up, and he said he would, you know, come squatching with us. Well, actually, he was excited about the whole thing, to be honest. But I think he felt us being excited, and he was excited in the things that we showed him and everything. But yeah, I just think he was excited about the whole thing. But when you asked him if he would come up, I think he was genuinely interested in coming out with us.
Yeah. So when he was talking about how when he comes up to do the Paracon, he's carted around by the casino shuttles, basically. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have a rental car, so he doesn't get to get out there and look around at all. And I'm like, hey, we'll take you out. We'll take you out, squatch into all the local spots. So he was pretty excited about hearing about thinking maybe we'd do that. Mm-hmm. So, but I think he was really interested in that stick structure. And when he saw the size of it and, you know, the various aspects of it, the different angles, and which makes sense because when we were showing some of the video of that at CryptidCon, Bobo from Finding Bigfoot was one of the people at our booth looking at it, and he was all excited, saying that if they were still filming for his TV show, they would have already been booking travel to Minnesota right on the spot to go see that. So he said it's a huge find. So I was excited to show it to Lauren. And I know you were too. So,
oh yeah. My gosh, yeah. Are we gonna be putting that whole thing on our website for everybody to see?
We are going to put it on YouTube first.
Okay.
Here's the thing. We didn't quite know what to do with all of this evidence. And I reached out to some internet gurus who handle websites and all this, and ask them what is the proper way to go about releasing a video. And so we're getting all that in order, and then we're going to put it on YouTube, which then we will share it via our website as well, and we'll post links on our Facebook page. Hey, go check out our Facebook page. It is facebook.com/ She Squatchers Official. So go check that out, She Squatchers Official on Facebook. And then, of course, we're on Twitter at She Squatchers. And you can find me on Twitter, too. I'm at Jennifer Cruz, K-R-U-S-E. Of course, this is the Journey radio show. So you can find our page on Facebook for that at facebook.com/ The Journey on Radio. So I hope you'll check out all of our pages there. I have been posting some GIFs, animated GIFs that I've made from some of the video from our expedition from just this weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
On our She Squatchers official Facebook page today. And I just figured out how to make a GIF on my phone this morning, so I was quite excited. I was making GIFs right and left, whether it made sense to make that one or not. I was like, look at this. I think this is how it works. How exciting.
You've got to teach me that, Jen. You've got to teach me how to do that, because I'd love to make some goofy GIFs I can send people.
It's totally cool. I will totally show you after we get off the show tonight. We're going to talk about our expedition a little bit before we go into to Lauren's interview, which she was so gracious to give us.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
My second favorite interview is kind of tied between Grant Wilson and Travis Walton. Grant always has my heart, I'm telling you. I love that guy. As far as interviewing at Paracon, he's just always a favorite.
Can I tell you, I was so impressed with Grant. I really did not know he was that intellectual. I mean, he's really smart. And the same thing goes for everyone I talked to. But wow, Grant really impressed me. In fact, he mentioned he was doing music and some different things. And I was like really impressed. I had no idea he was into all of that. So Grant, if you're listening, whoop, whoop.
I know. And, you know, I've been interviewing Grant every year at Paracon now for quite a few years now, from my old show. And so, of course, he remembers that we talk about recipes and stuff like that a little bit whenever we talk. And, you know, I know the listeners wonder if this is just a joke or whatever, but he really does have an amazing recipe for spicy sausage stuffing. It is amazing. And I'm going to say, you just got to try that recipe. And for real, it is a real recipe. And I've made it myself, and it's amazing. It topped my homemade wild rice stuffing. It topped it by far. And that was kind of hurtful and hard to say, but it's true.
Well, I will definitely make that. But Jen, we've got a question from Kat. She says, do you suppose Sasquatch are nomadic hunters, gatherers, or less of a society than hunting or gathering separately? I've wondered where they sleep.
You know, this is a really good question, and I have some really good answers for that, Kat. However, I'm not sure that I'm prepared to share them right now, because they're very extensive answers. And I don't know that he's necessarily a hunter-gatherer. I think he's when I first started looking for Bigfoot, I didn't have an opinion. I hadn't formed a belief. I didn't know what to believe or what not to believe. So I decided not to buy into anything really and just see what was out there. The things that I've been finding out there totally took me by surprise. How about you, Jenna?
Yeah. Big time. As a skeptic, okay, I walked in here not really, really believing, but thinking, okay, if there is a Bigfoot, I want to be part of the team that finds him. And Jen told me all about the team. I was excited. I did my interview. I really wanted to be on the team because, you know, I want to be part of that. I want to find Bigfoot. I want to communicate. And I didn't have a lot of ideas, but the more I do this, the more my skepticism is getting a little bit less and less. You know, I'd probably say I was normally probably at first 70-30, and now I'm probably 80-20, more on the lines of 80-20, just because of the things that we found alone, which are shocking to me.
Really? 80-20?
Yeah, I'm about 80-20.
Gosh, boy, oh boy. Are the Doritos real?
Oh, yes, baby, they're real.
Are they 80-22? Because, geez. I think it's pretty bizarre that the Doritos truck showed up during Paracon.
Are we going to add that to our website, too? I think we should. We should call Doritos.
I think we totally should. Those of us who really know us know that we love Doritos, and they should totally sponsor us. But
they really should. It's a sickness almost, but, you know, people can be eating Doritos, and I'll stop and say hi just to see if I can get a sniff. I'm teasing, kind of.
I saw someone taking selfies outside with the Doritos truck.
I did.
So, so I just got to say, to Kat's question, Bigfoot, from what I've seen, Bigfoot is more advanced than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I have to say about that right now. And when we do release the videos that we have, you know, perhaps you'll see a little bit more of why if I actually go into explaining it. I've been kind of curious about how to share those, because I don't know if I should just put them out there and say, hey, have a look, or if I should say, here's what I can see and point it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have peeled over those videos like crazy, and I've found tiny little minute details that, you know, others may not spend that kind of time looking at it that hard. Mm-hmm. So maybe we should put it out there, let people see what they see, and then wait for a while. And then say, okay, here's what we see.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's a good idea. Let people see what they see, and then maybe they'll see something we haven't.
Exactly. And I love that idea, too.
Mm-hmm.
I love that idea. So... but I'm going to say, Kat, as for information about Bigfoot, go to our Facebook page at She Squatchers Official on our Facebook page and check out the gifts that I shared today. They are pretty fun. And if you play with them and really look, I hope you can zoom into them. I can do it on my phone. I can zoom in and hold it so they don't move so fast. And I tried to put them in super slow motion. See what you think about those. I'd love to hear what you think. So after the show, check it out. It's really, really fun.
You know, there is, Jen, I hate to cut in, but there is one more gift. I cannot wait for us to get out there. It's okay. There are eyes that Jen happens to zoom in on, and those we also showed Lauren Coleman, and he really can't say much, but he looked at it, and he had looked at it, and he did a screenshot of it, and he looked at it again, and he said, okay, and that's all he said. So in my mind, I'm thinking, what does that okay mean? You know what I mean? But that's the one I'm excited for you guys to see on the page.
Yes. And in while we were talking to him before we did the interview, I was like, hey, Lauren, you know, what could we bring you that would make you go, oh, my goodness? And basically he says nothing. He can never be like mm-hmm. that.
Wasn't that funny?
So it doesn't matter what we bring him. He did say a body. If you bring me a body, but he's not of the kill Bigfoot kind, and neither are we. Mm-hmm. I think there was a look of horror on my face when he said that. I was like,
yeah,
I will not be bringing you a body. You can forget it. Maybe Jenna will kidnap one. I don't know, and bring it back later. But
with Doritos.
Oh, okay. And bananas.
Yeah. And bananas. Yes.
Travis says we should play the video of the audio of us two on slow motion, because that's really fun.
Didn't you show him? Hello. Didn't it sound like we were both drunk?
Oh, it did. It did. He's heard it many, many times as I watched it over and over and over again, looking at all the details. So, but I did want to say we had an expedition this weekend. We went back to the stick structure that we found originally, which I had remote viewed, I don't know, a week or two before we actually went there. And so when we were looking for something we had received a report about and that wasn't working out, we quickly switched over to what I had remote viewed and we drove directly to it, parked the car. We were within, what, 50, 75 feet of it?
Sure.
Yeah. It was about that far away from the car the original time we went. And this time we went back and it looked a little different.
A lot.
Looked a lot different.
I was really disappointed.
Something happened where some of the big beams or the big huge tree parts of it are now on the ground in the other direction. So it I don't know how that could have happened, but it did. The structure is still standing. It's just not as big as it was, but it's still there.
I did go in again. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you did. And what happened to our equipment?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, all of our batteries started dying. It was weird. And we kept hearing things moving in the background. And the flashlight went off. My camera lost battery. One of the other video cameras went off. My flare was losing batteries. We were down to a small headlamp and Jen's phone.
That I had 13% charge on.
And it was dark.
Yeah. And so the big spotlight flashlight that I have is one that you charge like every 6 months. And so for part of the video that I was taking, we're using the spotlight to light up the whole area. And it's going on, off, on, off, on, off. And so it makes for a really creepy video. Because it's pitch black and then all of a sudden it's light. Pitch black and then it's light. I just kept filming. Because we wanted to get as much footage of it as we could while we were there. Mm-hmm. And I love the stuff that we got. And I have not even come close to completing looking at all of it. I haven't looked at my monocular. I haven't looked at my GoPro. I've been just stuck on one of my cameras. I went through one video camera. My GoPro went out of batteries. My video camera got used up. A good thing I had an extra headlamp for Jenna.
Oh, my goodness.
And I carried it, even though she said she didn't want it. I carried it anyway, an extra one for her. And I thought, no, she should have this in case we need it. And we were down to that. And what happened?
It was like midnight black. You couldn't see anything in front of you except our little lights, you know, off of Jen's camera, which isn't much. We ended up getting a little bit feeling like we were a little bit lost and turned around. You know, when you're in woods and it's pitch black and you're not sure? Well, I was, but I'm just saying, Jen.
I was not sure of where we were at because it was so dark. Our headlamps were not lighting up like they should, the woods, like another flashlight would. It was a simple little headlamp. So I got turned around. I'm just going to say, I was turned around. You were a little turned around too.
You know, honestly, Jen, I have to interrupt. I knew exactly which way to go from the structure. So I felt pretty good. I was a little turned around. Okay, I'll admit it. I see your face. You're looking at me like, liar. But I was a little. But no, I was pretty
yeah.
confident.
Travis saw the video. He's in the chat room right now. He's saying Blair Witch Black and Lost. That's what he's saying. And he knows.
All right.
So we were a little freaked out. We couldn't find the road. We couldn't find. And when we had walked away from the structure and then all of a sudden we weren't at the road, then it was like, okay, where is the structure?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it? I'm not sure. We ended up calling for help. Come find us.
Can I just mention one thing, though? Jen kept telling me, okay, Jenna, which way? Just tell me which way. And so I kept telling her. I said, this way. Oh, okay, sorry.
Lead the way, Jenna. Go ahead. Lead the way, Jenna. And then she'd go and say, that is not the right way.
And I was walking right toward the road. And she kept saying, no, you're wrong, Jenna. You're wrong. And she literally said, okay, Jenna, lead the way. And literally, I took 5 steps and she said, that is not the right way. I couldn't believe it. I was like, seriously, Jen?
Oh, it was awesome. But you know what? In the dark, in the black, in the darkness. Oh my goodness, it was crazy. It was creepy.
There was noises. There's a lot of noises.
And my camera was tracking faces where there were no faces. Right after the big, huge noise in the woods, and I was like, "Hello, is somebody back there?" It was pretty crazy. And your FLIR had a red blotch come up on it at the same time that my camera was trying to track faces that weren't there.
But you know, and that's true. Thank you for reminding me, because that FLIR was set on a black and white. It looks like gray and black, and there was a red dot that showed up. It was really spooky. It really was, because there shouldn't have been any color on that, Jen.
You're going to have to look into that setting just to be sure, and I would totally want to see that video. But right now, we're going to go into our we're going to go to a break, and then we're going to come back with our interview with Lauren Coleman. And then as soon as the interview is over, because we're still going to be in the chat room talking to y'all, and as soon as the interview is over, we're going to come back with our closing comments and see what you guys have to say, questions and whatever. So stay tuned. We're going to break, and we'll be right back with the interview with Lauren Coleman, cryptozoologist. Stay tuned, everybody.
Demons, vampires, werewolves, skinwalkers, all of this and more, Sunday nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Get lost with us. Be careful! The Yodish Bar!
My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and host of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. I am a published author, academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast who holds 4 advanced degrees with an interest in parapsychology and life after death issues. I have written about and encountered nearly 100 situations involving the paranormal, with my most frightening experience being a floor-length mirror cycling around in front of me in a haunted room I had stayed in. I invite you to tune in Thursday evenings at 11 o'clock p.m. to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
The Journey Radio Show. I'm on here at Paracon in Minnesota at the Shooting Star Casino Hotel and Event Center. Right now I am sitting with Lauren Coleman, cryptozoologist. How you doing, Lauren?
I'm doing fine. Kind of a little tired after 2 days, but I'm here.
I can really relate to that, because everybody seems to stay up late and keep going. I don't know how they're showing up every morning.
And I just was in Kentucky and last weekend, Texas, so it's been a busy fall. Halloween season is very busy, so I'm not done when I leave work.
Well, I know we did see you in Kentucky. We just didn't get a chance to spend a lot of time with you. We're so busy, but here we are. We're mingling this time. So
yep.
This is really good. It's good to see you.
Good to see you. And what are you guys up to?
Well, we're just here mingling in the crowd and talking to people, because we kind of live close to here. We're within, you know, an hour and a half away from here. So this is kind of the area that we hope people will be calling us about their Bigfoot reports.
Yeah, I've been coming, I think this is year number 5, and people have always been coming to the table, telling me stories, talking about where they've seen Bigfoot, and I decided to do something a little different this year, because I obviously don't know every nook and cranny in this area, so I brought a map, and I'm having people put their sightings on the map, and it's kind of filling in a pattern here, certainly around this casino and this town, but then it goes out, and there's certain areas where people are having frequent sightings.
So where are they seeing them at lately?
Well, I think what's been intriguing to me is the local names. You know, around Detroit Lakes, you have the Hairy Man, and that's a phenomenon. A lot of people use that name. A little bit further, I believe it's east, there's a Clicky Clack. The Clicky Clacks are a deer-type woman with maybe antlers or legs that look like a deer but it's upright. And so there's a long native name for that, which I couldn't pronounce, so I tried right now. But the Clicky Clack, and then even all the way over to the east near the lake, there's some reports of thunderbirds. So little people, thunderbirds, Bigfoot, getting all kinds of reports this year.
I love that. I love that. I believe in all those things. And we were actually driving one day, and Jenna swears a thunderbird look. He saw a shadow.
Well, you know, you never can tell.
It was a big shadow, but I don't know.
Yes, but where there's a shadow, there's usually a body.
Yes, yes. That's right. That's right. But I was like, well, we didn't see it. Too bad.
Right. One of the frustrating things about coming is I fly into Fargo, and then I get a ride up here with the casino. So, like some conferences I go to, I have a car, a rental car, and I explore. So my exploration from here is through the experiences of other people. So I wanted to expand on that this year.
Oh, so are you able to drive around more?
No. But, I mean, start with the map this year. Maybe if I come back next year or the next year after that, I'll get a rental car and go to some of these places, because there's certainly a pattern here. There's some frequent sightings. Some people are telling me about things from the 70s, from the 60s, all the way up until last year. So there are some frequent hot spots, I'd say, in the state.
Well, I know there's definitely some nearby here, you know, within 20, 30 miles even. So I know that we've been looking in this area as well. Not as much as we have further north, but we definitely have had some curious experiences here. And we've gotten some reports from different people. And we have, like, our Bigfoot banters where we're having meetings and inviting people to come and share with us. We found that this area in particular is a little bit more tighter-lipped about that than, say, maybe like Vena, Minnesota. They're really open about their Bigfoot. They love to tell you all about it. But here, it took a lot for people to come and really open up to us and tell us their, you know, what's going on in the local community.
Well, I think that there's sort of the background of being Ojibwa is that talk to people in your own clan or your own band that really outside of that can you trust. You don't want to get on TV. You want to keep it in the community. What I'm interested in also, last weekend in Texas, I gave a whole presentation to the Chamber of Commerce down there on crypto-tourism. And so one of the questions I've been asking people around here, are there certain communities that are trying to take, in a positive way, take advantage of Bigfoot? And I've heard about Reamer. Reamer wants to be the home of Bigfoot, you know, Bigfoot capital of the world, all kinds of things like that, with having businesses that have gifts around Bigfoot, and maybe even restaurants and gas stations and things like that. I personally have an experience with Crookston, because the Crookston Bigfoot in the 1990s, Crookston, Minnesota, tried to become the Bigfoot capital of the world. And they got a Bigfoot. That Bigfoot ended up at RBG Restaurant for 3 years, and nobody really did anything with it. Turns out, a couple owners later, I own it. I bought the Crookston Bigfoot, and it's in our museum in Portland, Maine. So I wish Reamer luck, but I don't know if they're going to have, you know, they have to really be serious about this. They've got to have an annual festival. They need tours. They need to show people where the Bigfoots have been seen. They also have to do things like get someone to put a physical statue, because people need to come to an area and be able to take a picture in front of a statue or something, as opposed to saying, see those trees over there? There was Bigfoot seen there. So if they're going to make it part of tourism, they have to really think this through. And I don't know if they have. I don't know who's really steering them in a direction. But it's been very successful for some dying communities like Point Pleasant, West Virginia, because of Mothman, or Roswell, New Mexico. And these are cities that are under 4,000, under 2,000. They've really been able to come back from the brink of extinction. dying storefronts have been able to fill up with souvenir shops, with museums, with really oriented, tourist-oriented sites. And I'm hoping that happens for Reamer if they really are serious.
Well, yeah, we were just there for the Bigfoot Days Festival this summer. We actually spoke at their event, and it was fun to see all the people come out and to communicate with, well, as the She Squatchers, we were communicating with the locals, and the cutest thing happened. I was standing there waiting, somebody else was presenting, and I'm standing in the back just trying to catch some shade from something, and because it was really hot, and this little girl comes up and she said, "Are you a She Squatcher?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "I have something to report."
Oh, very good. So you're getting field people at all ages. Do they have a statue there yet or a museum?
I don't think that they do. They just have local shops that are selling different things, and they've got Bigfoot cutouts all over town that you can take a picture with. And
so when was the Bigfoot Days?
It was the weekend after July 4th. It's now an annual event.
Oh, okay. Well, I have to watch that very carefully.
Yes, it was a good time for sure. And the people, we were out in the crowd talking to different people and asking them to please come up and share on the stage and tell their story with us. And so many people actually did. They came up to tell what they experienced. And sometimes it was an interesting story, and sometimes it was, "I saw Bigfoot outside my school," you know?
That's great. It's just, you know, people forget about the fun part of Bigfoot. It's really about networking and fun, and it's not all about money and TV and stuff like that. So I'm glad that they're enjoying that part of it.
Yeah, it was definitely a fun time. Yeah. And people came from all over different states, and I was like, "You're from where?" You came here from, I just was surprised at how far they come for these Bigfoot festivals. Yeah. So, and as we went and traveled around more this year, we went to Kansas City Paracon, we spoke there, and then we went on to Crypticon, and you know, now we're here. But we just seemed, and then in between that, we've had our Bigfoot expeditions. So it's like nonstop for us, and I can't imagine how it is much, it's weird nonstop too. I mean, the more I hear about the Bigfoot conventions and conferences that they have, I'm like, how could anyone ever possibly go to all of them?
Well, you can't. You can't go to all of them. You got to pick and choose. The weekend that we had our conference in Portland, Maine at the International Cryptozoology Museum, which was Labor Day weekend, we'll have it next year at Labor Day weekend. At the same time, the International Bigfoot Conference out in Kennewick, Washington State was having a conference. Dragon Con was occurring in Atlanta. And I think there was even another conference that I haven't caught up with. But it's amazing. There's probably about 50 conferences a year, and you just can't go to all of them. After this one, I'm going to a couple of presentations in northern Maine, which is 7 hours away from where I live in southern Maine. So it just keeps going. And absolutely the busiest month is October, because it's almost as if the mass media and local communities can say, "Okay, it's Halloween, we all can talk about ghosts and Bigfoot and Thunderbirds and all that." And so it really is kind of becoming more and more a thing to do in the fall. And I'm already booked for a couple conferences next year. And it just keeps happening that way that it's three, because I forget about the one in Australia that somebody wants me to come to. So it can be very busy life being the director of a museum on this topic.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I bet. So, you know, if we had to pick and choose different Bigfoot conferences to go to, the ones that you would say don't miss it, do you have any recommendations?
I think that half of the battle is finding the ones that are close for you, easy to drive to. I fly around a long way to get to some of these. That is the most exhausting part. But if you can drive, I've driven to some of them, like the one in Ohio, one in Florida, and some in Illinois. Even from Maine, that's a stretch, but at least if I can drive to something, I can take what I need with me and make myself more comfortable. And so I use that as your test, because everyone has different things to it. And what's really occurring too, in conjunction with breweries, we're getting a lot of breweries that are hooking up with cryptozoology and Bigfoot. So, for instance, there's the Big Muddy Festival in Illinois now every year, and it's connected to the Big Muddy Monster, which is a Momo-type creature in Illinois. So that is turning into a Bigfoot festival as well as a brewery festival. The one in Ohio now, with so many vendors that the tables are so close to each other and they have 1,000 people walk by the tables, it's really not the old kind of conference that maybe 150 to 300 people where you can have more networking. I know that that's Ohio Bigfoot Conference is very successful and people love to talk there and they love to vend there because they make a lot of money. But for all of that positive, you know, mess, you also get some negativity. So I'm looking at that. Texas this year was 350 people, which they filled the whole hall that they got. And they're looking next year to get a little bit bigger hall, just so people can have a little bit more elbow room. But I think that people are also beginning to know that just because you have 1,000 people come to your conference doesn't mean it's better. You might, the organizers may make more money and not lose money and stuff like that, but you also have to look at what your product and what it is that you want. So this conference, I mean, I don't even know how many people they have here, but they have a big hall. They have it spread out in the vendors in two halls. A lot of people don't like that because they feel left out of the other place. So there's always going to be people complaining. But for you guys, if you want to really look at some of the conferences, you know, you could drive, or you could be flying to Washington State. Willow Creek is always a good place to go to. There's one in Oklahoma, Texas. Florida used to have a few, but not really anymore. But I think that certainly it's a way for you to network with other women. They're coming more and more into the field. When I started out writing the books and doing conferences in the 70s, it was a male-dominated field. And I'm glad to see now there's more diversity around all kinds of people, genders, you know, Hispanics, African Americans, white folks. So it's really changed in a positive way. I know I'm still the token cryptozoologist here at this conference, which is mostly ghost people. And then they have Josh Gates, who has a show that goes both ways as far as every kind of different things. But it's the other ones, the specialty ones. You saw that in Kentucky. A lot of people, a lot of different people, weren't as fun as that.
Oh, I had a lot of fun there. It was a little bit smaller, but a fun time. I got to know a lot of great people there. And it was really fun to get to know other Bigfoot hunters and really mingle with them a little bit. That was the part I really enjoyed a lot.
The thing about Kentucky is a lot of people look for more than just what's happening at the conference. And I noticed, for instance, in that town, Frankfort, they didn't really know we were in town. So they didn't take advantage of it by having really restaurants open or the two antique stores. Whereas Jefferson, Texas, where I just was, there's probably about 12 antique stores in town. And they all knew we were in town. And so they tried to orient towards having yard sales, having cookouts and different things like that. So it becomes a community-wide event, and that really makes you feel welcome there. So I look for cities that do that. Willow Creek's very good at that because they're very oriented. I was there and talked to the Chamber of Commerce woman, and she was saying, we really want to make Bigfoot our number one tourist industry. And I said, well, what is your tourist industry? She said, we're a weed. Weed is our crop, and that's our main industry. So I can say, oh, I get it. Okay. Marijuana capital of the world, Willow Creek, California. You want to become Bigfoot. So I saw that what they were trying to do, and they're making a good effort.
Now, isn't the PG film 50th anniversary, aren't they having an event there this upcoming weekend?
Yes, they are. They are. It's in Willow Creek. There was a big event in April there, and I attended that. It was the final filming episode for Finding Bigfoot, because they're going off the air. So I attended that, and with a lot, some other people. And they had a big festival with vendors. We were all outside. And I got there and I wondered, Craig Woolheater from Texas was there. And he was in the booth, kind of the tables next to me. And I kept looking around and I said, why are all of these local people, why do they have those funny umbrella tents over their tables? So by the afternoon when I had a sunburn, I understood. We're so far up in the mountains, it's just the sun is beating down all day. Even though you think it's cool, it's really not. So it was a fun event. This weekend, it's next weekend, we're exactly 1 week from the event. It's the 15th anniversary, and there's been a lot of people being invited and then uninvited or dropped off of the agenda. So it's, I don't want to talk too much about it because I was supposed to be there and then the funding was moved around. So it's going to be one of those events where a lot of people are going to have something to say about afterwards. But that's the Bigfoot field. If you can't talk about people, you're not alive.
Right. Well, and then for people who are out there looking for Bigfoot or Dogman, Mothman, or whatever they're looking for, what kind of evidence should they focus on? Like, is there something in particular that you think they should be doing with equipment or cameras, or what would you like to see?
Well, I'm the last person in the world to tell somebody what to do. I'm very low-key about my consulting, my advice. I write field guides. I write books on the history. I want people to study their own area. And I was one of the early people in the 60s that said, why is everybody going to Loch Ness when we haven't even studied our own backyard? So my book, Mysterious America, which came out in 83, was a real document to try to have people study their own local Bigfoot, study your own local lake monster, study your own Thunderbird reports, and do it in whatever way that's easiest for you. We all have different personalities. That's why we have different jobs. And so if you have a person that has a law enforcement background, they're going to be much more fact-based, much more aggressive. I'm an anthropology, zoology, psychiatric, social worker kind of guy. And I, kind of sneak up on the investigation. I let people come to me or go to them and ask very open-ended questions. Matt Moneymaker, as you may have seen on TV, he will get in your face and say, you're telling me that Bigfoot had a black nose? Well, Bigfoot don't have a black nose. And that's a different way of investigating. I don't let people know what they should be seeing. I let them tell me what they said they see. And if they see shapes in the woods, then go there again. Try to find Bigfoot traces. Try to find fecal material that can be analyzed. Try to look at bushes that have scraggly branches and see if there's any hair on that. See if you can find a muddy area where there's a footprint. Make sure you put a dollar bill down if you take a picture. Make sure you have at least 20 pounds of plaster of Paris in your trunk of your car and are willing to walk 10 miles back to your car and 10 miles back in to make a plaster cast. But people have to be, I think it's really, as I, the old cryptozoologist Bernard Hoivermann said, it's all about patience and passion. You have to have patience in this field, and you have to really have a passion for it. Too many people come into this field, and they leave in 18 months because they don't get any results. They start faking evidence. They start seeing things that aren't there. They start, even if someone finds one footprint, and then they don't find another, and start faking it because they want to prove to somebody else that the first one was real. It's really the wrong road to go down. Keep your credibility, keep your persistence. Don't try to get on TV right away. Just keep looking for evidence. But do it your own way. Don't do it my way. Don't do it, your husband's or your wife's way, or your boss at work, or your boss of your group. Do it your own way and keep true to yourself.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. But I'm wondering, what could we bring you that you would believe? So, what should we gather that you would want to see?
I don't use the word belief because I think belief is faith-based. We don't talk about two things in the museum or on my expeditions, religion or politics. So, real verifiable evidence is a body part, is a body. I'm not of the Kill Bigfoot school. I'm of the scientific, zoological, anthropological point of view. The kind of Bigfoot I'm looking for has physical evidence, is a physical being. So I don't care if you're of the school in which you feel that the projection from the fourth dimension or that from a UFO, that's the theory you're going to have to prove. The proof that I'm looking at in the biological, zoological world is this is a new species. If it's not a new species, then you can never bring me that evidence. And your theory may be the one that's valid, but go prove that theory. A mentor of mine was Ivan T. Sanderson. He said, never prove one unknown with another unknown. So, that to me is my yardstick.
Awesome. Well, we always look to you for good advice on that, since you're the reason we came into being. You're the whole reason.
And you're the reason I'm still here.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, the guy who organizes the event here, I was talking to him the other night, and I said, what do we have to do to get a Bigfoot going?
What did he say?
He says, well, what do you want to do? And I said, if you think CareCon is a successful event with all the paranormal people, I said, I've been going to some Bigfoot events. I said, you wouldn't believe the people that come out of the Bigfoot.
UFO and ParaCon type events are really leftovers from the past. The future is Bigfoot and cryptozoology conferences, and I hope that Shooting Stars sees the light.
Exactly. So I'll keep working on them, and I'll say, gotta bring Lauren out here.
Right.
Well, thank you so much, Lauren.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Always fun.
It's nice to see you guys again.
Oh, yes. And tell us, where can people find you?
I'm in Portland, Maine at the International Cryptozoology Museum. A year ago, we actually have existed for 14 years. A year ago, we moved to a new museum that was built with donations. It's on Thompson's Point. It's right next to a brewery, which is next to a winery, which is on the other side of us. There's a distillery. So a lot of people come to drink to this area. They also have outdoor concerts like Bob Dylan and other great, the Willows. I don't know. All these groups that you folks go to, you young folks. And then also, in a couple of years, they're going to build a children's museum across from us. You can see the water, you can stay in a nice hotel, and come to the museum.
Oh, that's awesome. And you have a website too, right?
Oh, yeah. Cryptozoologymuseum.com is, you know, all one word. And then just come there, and it's easy to navigate.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And anybody find any cryptids yet that you've been like, oh, now we know that exists? Has anybody found anything?
Oh, every week there's new animals being found. There's new monkeys. There's a new bird that was found in Central Park, New York, a brand new species. A new species of turtle found in the Pearl River in Mississippi. There's brand new animals every day. So that Bigfoot, that Loch Ness Monster, that lake monster may still be out there for us to find. It'll be exciting times.
You have heard of both big black snakes in the rivers up here?
Not exactly. You know, I know about Pepe, the Pepe monster, and different things like that. And so hearing those stories all over gives me hope.
Yeah. I heard that there are giant, giant black snakes being reported from different rivers, even in Canada and the Missouri River, even down in South Dakota. So from Canada to South Dakota, I've been hearing reports of that, of these giant black snakes at the bottom of the river.
So what's giant mean in this river? 10 feet, 12 feet, 20 feet?
The gentleman who told me this was from a Native First Nations reserve in Canada, and he said that the reports are coming in that it was as big around as a barrel, an oil barrel. So that's giant.
I did hear today for the first time that in the northeast corner there's reports of giant beaver, and I've heard those from Manitoba for many years. Giant beaver that are as big as a Volkswagen Beetle.
Are you serious?
Yes, very serious. I in Bear Lake in Utah, I interviewed a woman who saw a giant beaver that was as big as a refrigerator. So they're big. And there are classic prehistoric Pleistocene beavers that were that large.
I mean, that's a really big thing. How could they have stayed hidden?
Well, there's a lot of lakes and a lot of woods. And the one thing that we know with beavers, though, they're probably dams. And there's cut down trees, so we need to look for those.
Absolutely. I'll have to look into that, and I'll have to do some research online. Always more to learn.
Right up here.
Oh, it's right up there. Okay. Yeah. Just above the Great Lakes area in Canada. Nice. Well, love it, love it. Well, hopefully if you come back next year and want to go on an adventure, we'd be happy to take you out.
Sure, we'll talk about that. They booked me pretty well in here, but maybe there is some hours I can get away.
We'll take you to the local Bigfoot areas, show you around maybe a little bit. That'd be fun. So maybe we'll get to do that someday.
And maybe I'll come to Reamer.
Oh, that would be fun too. I'd love to do that.
Yeah, 4th of July. After the 4th of July.
Yeah, it's always the weekend after the 4th.
Okay.
So,
all right. Thank you.
Thank you again.
Good night.
Good night.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow. What an awesome interview with Lauren Coleman. What did you think of that, Jenna?
You know I loved every second of it. The only part is I hated the background noise, even though you could tell everybody was having such a great time. I hope everybody was able to hear that okay, because, wow, I really enjoyed it. I'm sure you did too.
I did too. And he just looked so excited. He had just pure excitement in his eyes about Bigfoot. And, you know, he just was looking pretty excited that day. I've never seen him look like that before. So, I mean, it was very interesting.
Yeah, he was even sitting on the edge of his seat and everything. He was attentive. He was excited to talk about it. He was excited about the questions you were asking. And he was excited about answering those questions too. I think it was really great.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed visiting with him. And hopefully we'll get to take him out and show him around some of the really cool places in Minnesota. I'm hoping maybe he'd stay an extra day next year. And we'll just take him out and show him all around. To our sweet little hot spots.
Oh my gosh, yes. To our sweet spots.
I know. It's going to be awesome. You know, it's well, now we know what an honor it is when someone brings us to their Bigfoot hot spot, their super secret location. And, you know, it feels like such a privilege and such an honor. Like Squatchman did that for us. And so thank you. Shout out again to Squatchman. We just love him so much. He's all heart.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So I have to give him a little shout out there.
We love you, Squatchman.
Love you, Squatchman. And son of Squatchman, he's a sweetheart, even though I don't think he said two words to me. He's kind of shy, but what an awesome guy. Mm-hmm. So, in all, we had a great Paracon. We had a great interview with Lauren Coleman. Interviewed other celebrities as well, which are to come in future shows. So stay tuned for the next ones. We got some awesome interviews, really. And Grant Wilson recorded a commercial for me.
Oh, yeah, that was very cool.
Which, you know what's funny? He didn't even know anything about Yenta.
I know!
And he was like, ooh. And the way he did it was very sensual. I was like, well, my goodness. But he did say, Grant Wilson said he was going to write a cookbook. And all of the titles of the recipes were going to be having a ton. What did he say? We're going to be a little risque or a slightly inappropriate just for me.
That's
because we're always just slightly inappropriate.
And didn't he say that at the end of the interview? He goes, it's always a little slightly inappropriate when I talk to you. It's so funny.
Yeah. It was awesome. Wait till you hear that interview. It was a wonderful. And we're already at the end of the show. So I just want to say thank you to Lauren Coleman. Thank you, Jenna Grover, and the rest of my awesome She Squatchers team. We had just great support here. And thank you to everybody else who helped out on our last expedition as well. And you can find my Facebook page for the show at facebook.com/thejourneyonradio. Check out the page. Check us out on She Squatchers SheSquatchers.com and Facebook.com/ SheSquatchers Official. And I did just post another video GIF just moments ago on the SheSquatchers Facebook page. So please go there and check it out. I have lots more to share, so go ahead and give the page a like. Thank you to our producer, Sarge. You're awesome. And thanks also to our network, Para X. Good night, everyone.